Well, I'd like to welcome everybody this morning to our online sermon. We've decided in the interest of safety for everyone that the service today was canceled. And we don't want to run any risks, even though it's very small. So we're going to present my sermon today online. And so you guys can listen to it as often as you like. But this morning I want to bring you a message about gratitude. And the actual definition of gratitude is found in the dictionary is that it's a noun that means the feeling of being thankful to someone for doing something. Now that sounds nice and simple, doesn't it? But gratitude is actually a part of our lives every day, whether we recognize it or not. As soon as you started to learn to talk, your parents probably taught you to say, thank you. It's no surprise that parents teach children this basic rule. Relationships grow stronger when you express gratitude. A heartfelt thank you makes other people feel appreciated. And it reminds us of our dependence upon other people. And when we say thank you to God, it reminds us of our dependence on Him. Now, gratitude takes on basically three forms: a feeling in the heart, an expression in words, and a giving in return. It's from the word gratitude that we get gratefulness. Now, I've heard people discuss many times the need for us to have an attitude of gratitude. As we mature with this attitude and develop, gratitude blossoms into thanksgiving. And for the believer, thanksgiving is a part of our very nature. In fact, we should be practicing thanksgiving. And thanksgiving is a lifestyle that must start in the heart. It's a command, a way that we're to live. And it's found in Ephesians 5:20, where it says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The context of this verse is tucked into a passage that instructs us in the different ways that we're to live. For example, in those few verses, we're told to understand what the will of the Lord is, to be filled with the Spirit, to sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord. And as God's people, among those important directives, we're enjoined to give thanks always for all things. That, of necessity, must emerge from a thankful heart, because you can't sincerely give thanks unless you are sincerely thankful. In this verse, thanksgiving means thanksgiving, a way of life that is expressed from the inside out. It reflects a believer's heavenly perspective that focuses on all they have, not on all they don't have or still want. A thankful heart is a selfless heart because it focuses on the giver in appreciation for all he has given. It's a life of gratitude that motivates the same selfless goodwill toward others. One of the stories the Bible tells us is the necessity of gratitude if life is going to be meaningful. We read of Job being tempted to curse God and give up because of the suffering in his life. But he is a man who continues to trust God with his life and his future. That is radical gratitude. We read about King David, who faced with a mountain of problems in trying to lead his nation, continues to look to God and writes a whole book of songs praising God. We read about Paul being persecuted, beaten, jailed, and left for dead, who could say, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realm with all and every spiritual blessing in Christ. In spite of all his difficulties, he could say, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. The writer of Philippians modeled practicing gratitude for other people in Philippians 1:3, when he says, "I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying for joy in every one of my prayers for all of you." And in Colossians 2:6, "So then, just as you received Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the truth as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." Now, as I look back upon this year and the things that have transpired in your lives and mine, I see times when it should have been impossible to be thankful. Yet because God has put all of us together, we have climbed above fear and despair. And the higher we have climbed, the more we have exercised the biblical principle of thanksgiving. Learning how to be thankful in the midst of the worst seasons. We see this in Colossians 3:15, where it says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." And in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." So, thinking, what in the world do we have to be thankful for? Well, let me give you some of my ideas. First, I'm thankful for my salvation. The thought that Jesus would be hung on a cross for my redemption and the redemption of all who believe is overwhelming. But he did just that. And now God has provided me with a piece of armor, a helmet, to cover my head and keep my mind from being infiltrated by diseased thinking. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. My thoughts can only stay on course when I stay focused. And the most important thing I have is the condition of my soul, knowing that should I die today, I will go be with the Lord. Second, I'm thankful for the body of Christ, that God would care about my life and what happens to me so much, he would surround me with a great cloud of witnesses, some of whom are already victorious, and some that are going through the fire when I am. He said that he would never leave me or forsake me, and still he provides me with a support system to cover me with prayer, walk me through the valleys, and celebrate with me on the mountaintops. Most importantly, we have all been given the opportunity to receive the redemption and salvation that Jesus provided when he died on the cross for us. Third, I'm thankful for forgiveness, that I do not have to take my baggage of guilt and pain with me into tomorrow. I can cast my burdens on him because he really cares about me. I can forgive those who have hurt me, and I can keep my communication with Christ in prayer unhindered. Forgiveness releases me from the hurt and increases my ability to heal. In Psalms 30, verse 11, "You turn my wailing into dancing. You remove my sackcloth and clothe me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give you thanks forever." Here next I have the joy of hope, that I have the strength in me to confidently expect the absolute best to come into my life because of Christ living in my heart. That which destroys others does not damage me. That hope is the anchor that stabilizes me when the seas are rough and the waves start to crash in around me. And finally, but not least, my faith. The Bible calls it substance, the substance of all things hoped for. It's the faith in me that pleases God. It's my victory to overcome the world. It's the evidence that I have that what is unseen right now will one day be visible. Faith in God enables me to believe and trust in family, to hope for my future, to forgive others unconditionally, to fellowship with the body of Christ. And faith is how I receive the gift of salvation. There are some simple messages that I believe the Bible is telling us about life that comes from the Psalms. The first is, you cannot be grateful until you believe with all your heart that God is good. The psalmist wrote, "For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." You cannot have a grateful heart if you think of God as not being concerned about us. The starting place of gratitude is believing God is good. And if you don't believe that, then life will be chaotic and confused. It will seem hopelessly evil and out of control. So in the center of our faith is to believe that there is a person at the heart of the universe who loves the world and loves us. It is our belief that he is in control, and that helps us stay in control. It is in trusting in his heart that we are calmed in the calamities of life. It is believing that he has our best in mind, that we walk with quiet assurance through life. Pity those who scoff at the idea of God and believe that there is no creator, no designer of life, no author of history, no purpose to any of this. Life like that would seem horribly depressing, directionless, and futile. The message of the Bible is you can't be grateful until you believe with all your heart that life is good. Even some Christians I know go on about how terrible the world is. There is so much sin and evil. And the idea is that the world is so horrible that we just can't wait for Jesus to come again. Somehow, what we have missed out on is what the psalmist understood, that life is good, and God's wish is that we would revel in it. Life is not to be endured. It's meant to be enjoyed. What is the purpose of making a good world if no one is going to enjoy it? How can we hate the world when God loves the world? Life is good, even when there were difficulties and suffering. The psalmist knew God and therefore understood the world and what life was to be like in the world. He said, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture." You know, people often assume that since they cannot see the purpose of something from their perspective, that there is no perfect purpose, no reason or rhyme to what they're facing. But from God's perspective, it makes perfect sense. There's not only order and design in what he is doing, it is a work of art. It doesn't matter you are too small to see the whole masterpiece. It's still there. And one day, looking from heaven, the mysteries of what God has been doing will be clear to us. What looked like a valley to us will be seen as a part of God's design that has been stretched out over his universe. All the beauty and purpose of what God has done will make us appreciate his compassion and his love for us. If you practice gratitude every day, what do you think the result will be? The Bible promises that seeing the good in daily life leads to peace. Philippians again gives us a heads up about this. If there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, is this life filled with some bad things? Yes. Do those bad things happen even to godly people? Yes. But in my gratitude, my thankfulness abounds toward God as I remember what he has already done for me. How could I neglect so great a salvation? How can anyone deny the power of God to heal and help those who are hurting? Perhaps you will join me in turning our thanksgiving into thanks living. You can be happy or sad. Choose joy. Pray continually. And in everything, give thanks. Because that's what God wants us all to do. Now, earlier in this message, I mentioned several things that I'm thankful for. And I would like to mention one more thing that gladdens my heart. I am thankful that 107 years ago, a pastor named John Platt came to this small town and became a circuit pastor, serving Manteca, Lathrop, Ripon, Turlock, and Vernalis. Feeling the need to establish a permanent church, he formed the First Brethren Church of Manteca in 1920. This church has served our community continuously for 100 years. And I am thankful for the dedicated members of the congregation that joyfully prayed and worshiped our Lord since then. These dedicated servants of our Lord built this beautiful church that we meet in and established that the members of this church are a family, the family of God. And I am thankful that this family continues today as we continue to gather and worship in our Father's house. The Bible tells us, "See what marvelous love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called God's children." And that is what we are. God's love is beyond all measure. And for that, we give him thanks and gratitude. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and express our gratitude to you for all that you have done for us and all that you have promised us. Lord, keep us focused on you even in times that are difficult, even when we're afraid, that we know that you are there and you will guide us and protect us. And we thank you, Lord, for all the blessings you have given us and the sacrifice of your Son that brought us to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.